Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, the second chapter, which you heard read earlier. Perhaps you've already noticed the strong theme in our service this morning, prayer. We opened our service singing, "Hear Us, Father, When We Pray." In the intro, we heard God's word sung by the psalmist, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." In the collect of the day, we used God's gift of prayer to pray for our prayers, saying, "O Lord, let your merciful ears be attentive to the prayers of your servants, and by your word and spirit, teach us how to pray." And the sermon hymn, Luther's hymn, catechizing us on the Lord's Prayer. In our Old Testament lesson, Abraham is pleading out to God in prayer. He's praying for the salvation of the righteous souls who may be living in Sodom and Gomorrah. As we heard last week, Abraham and Sarah were visited by three messengers, two divine angels, one the angel of the Lord, which is the pre-incarnate Christ. They came with news that Sarah would finally give birth to the long-awaited son. But the sins of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah had cried out to the Lord in heaven, and they were so great and grave, these messengers had another motive while they were down here on earth. The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah cried out for God's revenge and punishment. And the visitors were to verify the extent of that transgression before pouring out God's wrath. So the two angels went alone off to Sodom, and in the meantime, Abraham stands before the Lord God. He draws near to him and pleads for mercy on behalf of any righteous souls who may still be living in the cities. He does not want the righteous to be destroyed with the wicked. Now, to you and me, it sounds a little crazy to stand before God and plead with him and ask him favors, because who argues with the Holy One of God? He's the one who is authorized to destroy body and soul in hell. But Abraham does. He does it with great fervor, yet with humility. He appeals for mercy. First, if there are 50 righteous, and then, well, what about 45, 30, 20? Finally, working down to if there are only for the sake of 10 righteous people in the city, please don't destroy it. Now, it sounds like a gutsy move, but there's an interesting thing here. Notice where Abraham's concern is. He is not concerned about punishing the evil. He is only concerned about mercy for the innocent. He's not anxious about the sins and the sinful. He's anxious about sparing the righteous. Now, just like you and Abraham was born by nature sinful, spiritually dead, and an enemy of God. But the Lord God came to Abraham and made a covenantal promise to him. Scripture says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So what appears to be perhaps an arrogant prayer, an impulsive prayer, it is evidence of Abraham's faith in God. He knows that he's nothing more than dust and ashes before God, yet he also knows he has a covenantal promise. He has a relationship with God. And he believes it is impossible for God not to have regard for the righteous. So he calls on God to look at himself, who he truly is. Look to his unchanging attributes, his character, and his promises. He calls upon the most holy God of creation to be who he promises to always be: merciful, righteous, and long-suffering. that he would spare the city for the sake of a few righteous within her walls. And this is how the Lord God calls on you and all of his children to pray to him today. His holy word encourages all who are in a covenantal relationship with him to call upon him in the day of trouble. He will deliver you, and you shall glorify him. Scripture says that we are to cast all our anxieties on him. Why would we do that? Well, because he loves you and he cares for you. And this type of a prayer is lamentation. There are a lot of prayers of lament in the Psalms. People crying out to God, pleading and begging that God would remember his promise to be steadfast and merciful. Old Testament Hebrews understood this lamentation to be evidence of their faith. Because you don't cry out and lament to a God whom you do not believe in. You do not cry out to someone who has no ability to change or power to change the order of things. So that is why in our gospel lesson, one of Jesus' disciples asks to teach them to pray. Time and time, they see Jesus going up on the mountain to pray to his Father, so they know prayer with God is really, really important. And if it is really that important, they want to be sure that they're praying properly, faithfully calling upon God, just as Abraham did, for the sake of the righteous. So Jesus teaches them how to pray. He says to begin your prayer with Father. Christian prayer always begins focusing on God. When you pray your prayer with the wrong focus, well, then your prayers become all about you. When you pray with the wrong focus, your God becomes nothing more than some genie in a bottle which you hope can give you three wishes, or that God becomes the vending machine God who pays out benefits in exchange for your works and praise. Christian prayer does not begin with what you need, but it begins with the merciful and righteous God the Father and his good and gracious will for your life. Jesus teaches his disciples of all times a framework so that we can understand prayer in the context of our relationship with him, with our Heavenly Father. And as we always say, God always moves first. He bids you to call upon him, believing that he is your true Father and you are his true child, so that you can pray to him with all boldness and confidence, with childlike faith. Now, Christian prayer is not bartering or arguing with God, but like Abraham, praying for the sake of the righteous. It is evidence of your faith, calling upon God to be just who he promises to be in this world and to you, to be the righteous God who is faithful and just. The Lord's Prayer challenges us to rethink the nature of our prayers. Christian prayer is not like the prayers of the unbelievers. They view prayer as some sort of a negotiation process or a begging process, haggling with a God who stands far off from his creation. They heap up flowery phrases and empty promises of praise, hoping to shame God into action. Now, like Abraham, you, dear Christian, when you pray, you're simply asking God to be who he promises to be. He always moves first. He does all the work, and then for the sake of Christ Jesus, you simply receive all of his gifts. God wants the Christian to pray with all boldness and confidence, and he desires to pour out all his gifts upon you in abundance. But he will not force his grace on his Spirit on any unbelieving hearts. Like Abraham, you and I are also by nature sinful, spiritually dead, and enemies of God. But also, like Abraham, you have a covenantal relationship with your Heavenly Father. In baptism, God made a covenant with you and raised you to new life in Christ. And Paul explains this in our epistle text this morning. He writes, "In Christ you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." At the font, God made you his own child. The washing of the water with the word, you were made participants with Christ. You were united with all his works of his perfect life, his perfect death, and his resurrection. All of his gifts became yours, namely forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation. Of course, it was nothing that you did. It was everything that Christ did on your behalf, granting you the gifts of faith and the Holy Spirit, adopting you as a member of his holy Christian church. And because of that covenantal relationship, he invites you to call upon him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Because when the Christian prays, you're not simply asking God, you're only simply asking God to do what he promises to do. You pray that his name be kept holy, that his kingdom come among you, that he provides for your needs, and that he would forgive you of all your sins. Because the obstacles to faith and temptations you face in this world are great. So you pray unceasingly that God would grant you his grace and his Holy Spirit. Even evil parents know how to give good gifts to their children. Jesus says, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So, dear baptized believer, when you pray, call upon your Father in heaven. He is gracious and merciful. He is righteous. And pray that God strengthen you so that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And St. Paul gives you this mandate as a baptized believer in Christ. He says, "Therefore, as you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Remain steadfast in the Lord, calling upon him that he would enable you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, serving your neighbor with virtuous works and deeds, mercy care, spreading the gospel through your witness and through your financial support of Christ's church." Dear Christian, Jesus calls on you to pray. He bids you to pray beginning with Father. And because Jesus has taught us to pray, and Scripture commands us to pray, and because God hears and answers your prayer, because of that relationship with God, he is your Heavenly Father who promises to pour out on you more than you can ever ask for, more than you could ever expect. So keep on praying, rooted up and built up in God, in your God-given faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.